Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. I'll be honest with you, I was kind of going over the whole Hezekiah thing, and I thought, well, maybe I'm done with this, and I just wasn't settled on what to preach. And I had read a verse in the New Testament earlier this week, and I just was pondering it. Just thinking about it and thinking about what it meant. And I thought, well, I'm going to do a study on that. And was doing a study on it. Doing a study. I like to study words in the Bible. And what they mean and how they'll preach and different things like that. And as I began to put that study together, God began to deal with me and to help me a little bit and encourage me to preach this morning. And this is one of those messages that I don't know who it's for. I don't know if it's for anybody here. I don't know if it's for someone out listening to us today. We appreciate that. But if this message will help one person today, if it'll help one person, I'll praise and worship the Lord. And if this message helps you today, I'd like to hear from you. You could either come see me sometime or send me an email or a note or something like that. And say, Pastor, that was me that you're dealing with, and it's a situation that I'm going through right now. Let me read the scripture to you, and I'll kind of tell you where I'm going with this, and you pray for me while I preach, all right? 2 Chronicles 29, verse 7. This is Hezekiah's talking, and this is before he's talked about how we need a covenant. And he said, also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them, and I want you to look at the word here, he hath delivered them to trouble. I want you to think this morning about being in trouble. It's something that we think, well, when you're a child, you get in trouble for things. You're in trouble. We tend not to think in those terms now that we're all grown up. Well, I'm grown up now and I won't be in trouble. That's not true. It's not true. I've been in trouble. You've been in trouble. Or maybe today you are in trouble right now. There is a troubling in your spirit, in your soul. Maybe even a troubling in your flesh. And I'll just show you from the Bible where it comes from. In some cases, now, there's two kinds of this. There's trouble where we're troubled by the actions of our own wickedness, and God brings us to trouble. We get in trouble by God is what we do. But then there's the troubling that the world will bring to us as trying or tribulation to us. And people often ask me, Pastor, you believe we're going to go through the tribulation? I say we go through it all the time. We are appointed as Bible believers, we are appointed to go through tribulations. Not everything is going to be on easy street. And I will tell you something, if you'll believe this Bible the way the Bible tells you to believe it, the world will hate your guts, including your own family. They will despise you, they will reject you, they'll turn from you, they'll try to do things to you, they will work against you. And I've seen this. I've seen people who was trying to serve the Lord and live right, and family members were not going after them. They were going to their children. They were going to their young, trying to stir up things at home against the parents. I've seen that. That's wicked. That brings trouble into a home. It brings trouble into a family. It brings trouble into a person's life. But primarily, I'm not going to talk about the tribulation that we, just as Christians, we endure. I'm not going to talk about what the world brings to us. I'm talking about what we bring to ourselves. We can get ourselves in trouble. Amen. And Hezekiah, when he was talking about this thing here, he was not talking about how, well, we're Jews and everybody hates us because we're Jews. He was not playing a pity party with God. He knew he couldn't get away with it. He said, we worshiped idols now. He said, that's all we do is we worship idols, and we have pagan rituals that we do in the house of God. And he said, it's sickening. Hezekiah got a look. Listen to me now. Hezekiah went inside the house of the Lord, and he looked around in there, and he saw the filthiness that was inside God's house. And it made him sick. Made him mad. And he said, boys, he told the Levites, he said, before we do anything else, judgment must begin at the house of God. That's what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter. And he said, we're going to go in there. We're going to clean the house of God. And we're going to get that filthiness out of there. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was filthy. May have even been, because I know the worship practices that they were doing back then, may have even been some kind of pornographic thing inside of the house of the Lord. And Hezekiah said, we're getting that out of there. That's nasty. That's wrong. We're going to get that out of the house of God. But he said, our fathers worship Baal. That's what we do. And he said, because we're like this, he said, we're in trouble now. God's doing exactly what he swore to in his covenant in Deuteronomy 28. He said he's doing exactly what he swore he was going to do. Parents, can I give you an encouragement for a minute? Grandparents, too. We're kind of living in a day right now where grandparents are helping to raise grandchildren. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you some encouragement as parents and grandparents. Stick by your guns. And if you say that you're going to whip your child for doing something, and they do it and you don't whip them, you get everything you got coming out of that child. You deserve it. God kept his word with his children. God did not hate Israel. God did not abuse Israel. He was not always looking for them to do wrong. In fact, the whole testimony of the Old Testament tells us that God had long suffering with them, and God put up with an awful lot before he finally said, I'm done. This is it right here. And so, mom and dads, I just want to give you a little lesson and a little encouragement. Number one, say only what you are going to do. Don't tell your kids you're going to kill them because they know you're lying. Unless you really are. Then you need to come see me. But number two, don't curse at them. That's wicked. Number two, you tell them what you're going to do if they break your law. And if they do it, do what you said you're going to do. God did. God did. He never said a word in vain to Israel. All right? So I just throw that in there. But Hezekiah had read it right. He said, we're in trouble right now. He has delivered us to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. And I want us to pray this morning and ask the Holy Ghost to come in and to deal with us and to show us things that we need to know. And again, maybe you're sitting here today and you're in trouble right now. There's something that's troubling you because of your sin. And you see it right now in your life. And I want you to ask God to help you with this message. That's all this message is for, is help. But I also want to say this too, that I don't know. Again, God hasn't shown me a face of who this is preaching to. Maybe it's nobody here. Maybe it's somebody out on the other side of the camera or whatever. But you're in a deal right now, and you're in a lifestyle that you know is contradictory to the Word of God. And here's what I've already prayed for you. Don't even know who you are. I've already prayed for you. And I asked God, get them in trouble. God, get them in trouble. Bring trouble to them so that they will repent and turn and come back to you. And so this is just my encouragement to you this morning. If you're in a backslid condition and you're living two lives. On the outside here at Sunday, you looks like you're living for the Lord. Okay? But the other part of you is sinning and getting away with it. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Be sure your sin will find you out. And it will catch up with you, and God will long suffer with you until he's ready to deal with you. And I promise you, when he does, you're not going to like it. He's going to hit really hard and really mean and be really bad to you. God is going to drag you probably the worst of all situations in the world. I got a story about somebody. I don't know. I've been thinking about it. I don't know if I'll tell it or not. But this is just somebody that I know that has been through a situation like this. They got in trouble. And this was what God did in their life. And so I want you to just be kind of praying about that and thinking about that, all right? Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm asking you, God, for help. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for leading me in this direction. And, Lord, it just shows your goodness. Because, God, I asked you, Lord, what you want me to preach today. And this is what you gave me, and I thank you for that. And, Lord, you know why. You know what. You know the person or persons. You know everything about them. And, Lord, you just want them to know through the preaching of the Word of God that there's something coming to them that they're not going to like. But, Lord, you're going to use that to get their attention. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would do that, that you would be kind to them. And yet, Lord, your punishment to them would be harsh and severe because, God, that's the only thing that we really understand how to. That's the only way we know. And, God, it's a shame that we're like that, but, Lord, that's how it is. And Lord, Father, we just feel bad that you just really have to hit us hard sometimes to get a hold of us. So, Lord, I'm asking you, God, to just show your favor to your people this morning and bring folks to repentance, God. And this is not an expose of somebody's life. God, I personally am not interested in hearing some bad, terrible thing out of somebody in this church. I love these people, and I think the world of them. But, God, I also know, Lord, that their heart is just like my heart. It's very wicked, and it's very deceptive. And, Lord, we can deceive ourselves into thinking that everything's right, but it's not. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that if somebody here needs to be in trouble, God, get them in trouble. And, Lord, lay it to them hard and be mean about it. Be cruel to them, God. But then love them and bring them, Father, Lord, to eternal life and to repentance. Lord, just bless this message. Let it be used, dear God, for your glory and your kingdom and to help somebody today. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. When I was a boy, I just like all other boys, I'd like to play and have fun. And I'm one of these. I believe boys belong outside. Amen. Boys belong outside. Let them go out there and get dirty. Amen. Let them go out and dig holes and get dirt in their feet and their hair and everything else. And then you got to whip them to get a bath. And I mean, that's all normal. Okay. But I'm also knowing that wicked loves to find a multitude. And I had, you know, I lived in a little subdivision just south of town here. And there was boys that were kind of my age, and I kind of run with them. Didn't run with all of them, but I run with a couple of them. There was one in particular that I run with for a while. I'd walk up to his house, and we'd play, and he'd come down to my house, and we'd play outside and shoot BB guns at each other. And, you know, just war and cars, and he had an Evel Knievel thing. You remember those? It was awesome. I didn't get one for Christmas, but he did, so we played with his. But we got into a deal where we was lighting fires everywhere. Okay? Because we're old enough now, we're in control. And he had the neatest tree house that his daddy had built him in the backyard of his, a big old tall tree, and had a board ladder that we'd had to walk up that thing and got in his tree house. We'd play up there in that tree house. We got up there with another boy one time, and we was up there playing with matches, lighting stuff on fire in that wooden treehouse. One of the walls of this treehouse was an old canvas tent. So we'd light a fire and let it go, and then we'd put it out, and we'd light another one, let it go, and put it out. And finally we lit one, and it was close to that little piece of canvas, and we forgot about it. And when we turned our back on that thing, it lit that canvas, and it started shooting up the side of that wall of that treehouse. Flames, big flames, and stuff going zzz, zzz. You know how plastic stuff burns and drips and makes that noise. And we panicked. We didn't know what to do. So we ran out of that tree. It's lucky we made it out alive. We got out of that tree. And we ran around to the front of his house, his trailer house, and his mom was sitting out there with his little baby brother. So when we saw her, we did one of these. And then the cover story was, my friend looked over the other side of the house and said, "Mom, the house is on fire." Well, she wasn't fooled. She said, "What have you kids done?" And she ran around the house. She saw that look like the burning bush in the book of Exodus. I mean, it was just going. They called the Hooterville Fire Department out to our house. Hematite Fire Department, excuse me. All volunteer, and they brought the tank out and they put the tree out. Sister June, my mom, my dad was out working, and my mom was in town helping Warren and Ann Livingston move. They were going to move down to Lebanon and take over that bookstore. And my mom was in town going to help them move. And I walked running into the house, and Melissa, my sister, drug it out of me what we had done. So she called Mom. Mom said, "Put him on the phone." And I got on the phone. Man, I was shaking. She said, "I want you to go to your room and close the door. Don't you come out of that room. And I want you to pray, because when I get home, I'm going to tear you up." She was mad. She was scared, and she was mad. And so I went in my room, and I did. I prayed. And I want to tell you something. That was the worst, one of the worst whippings I ever got in my life. And my mom did what she said she was going to do. She didn't calm down and then say, "Well, it's over and done with." She came home, and I knew she would. I had to wait all day long for that whipping. That was the worst, one of the hardest things I've ever been through, knowing that it was coming. And I want you to listen to this preacher today. I've been through this, and I'm going to tell you that if you have turned towards sin and turned away from God, I'm telling you right now that trouble is coming to you. And I want you to know about it. I want you to know in your heart that you're headed for days that you will wish you were dead. You're headed for them. Because God is going to bring trouble to you. You're fixing to be in trouble with God, the likes of which you have never encountered in your life. And I want you to know it. And I don't know who this is for, but I want you to know that it's coming. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17, the Bible says, "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Ahab was looking at Elijah. You know, they'll blame the preachers, Gary. They're blaming the right-wing fundamental preachers, the gun-carrying preachers. They're blaming us. And Ahab said, "Are you the one troubling Israel?" And Elijah said, and he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." And I want to tell you something. Every now and then a preacher is going to stand up and preach something that you don't like, and he's going to make you mad. He's not the one that's your enemy. Amen. Your flesh and your sin is your enemy, and you're just mad at the preacher for bringing it up, because what you want to do is be able to sin without any consequence. And I'm here to tell you, raise your hand if you know that you cannot sin without consequence. Raise your hand. There's a whole church full of witnesses here. We know this. Nobody gets away with anything. And while I may be preaching on something, you say, "I wish he'd get off of that." The reason why you want me to get off of it is because you're guilty of it. What you want is a preacher that'll soothe your soul with nice talk and friendly talk and everything else, but you don't want anybody to keep bringing up what you're doing wrong. And you'll get mad at family members for doing it. You'll get mad at your wife. You'll get mad at your husband. My goodness, you'll even get mad at your children. Your children see things in you that you don't want them to see, and they know it's there. And they may every now and then come to you, "Mom, Dad, you know," and you'll get mad at them. But it's not their fault. It's yours. Get mad at the right source. Get mad at yourself. I'm not going to tell you what Joyce Myers tells you. "Oh, you got to learn to love yourself, Phil." You know what I teach you? I teach you to learn to hate your guts. Learn to hate yourself. Learn to hate your flesh. Learn to hate your wicked heart and your wicked mind. Hate it, because it's evil. God's going to kill it one of these days. He's going to destroy it. Learn to hate it. Then you'll be right with God. See, that's contrary to what you're going to hear out there, but that is the Word of God. You learn to hate your life. You learn to hate the things that you've done. You learn to hate how your heart thinks and how your wicked mind runs through the course of a day. I guarantee if I was to ask you, stand up and demand of you what you thought this week, you'd be too embarrassed and you'd run out of here. Guarantee it. That's who you are. Proverbs 15:6, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. There's some of the ways that we get ourselves in trouble, the revenues of wicked. And I was just kind of running through my mind. Boy, how am I going to preach that? Boy, that'll really get them. And I don't feel that mean today. But I want to tell you something. If you're running a business or you're running some kind of investments or something like that that are not according to the Bible, you're fixing to bring trouble down on yourself. And don't be surprised when you lose it all. How many of you think that's possible nowadays? That's one way where we get it. 1 Chronicles 2:7. I read this yesterday. The sons of Carmi, the Achar, the troubler of Israel. That what that's referring to is Achan. Do you remember Achan? Achan went into Jericho after having received specific instructions from Joshua to not take anything out of that city that he saw there. He said, leave it there, we're going to destroy it. Achan took a Babylonian garment, he took some gold and things like that, and then while he's really going to enjoy it, Jim, you know what he did with it? He buried it under his tent where he wouldn't get caught with it. Now, isn't that how stupid we are? We'll lust after something, and then we got to keep it private so nobody finds out about it. Well, where's the enjoyment in that? Amen? Where's the enjoyment in that? But he took the accursed thing. And as a result, God had just kind of had pulled off of them. And they were fixing to go into Ai. And Joshua said, well, you know, I tell you what, we took care of that Jericho thing pretty good. I think we only need about half the men that we spend in Jericho. So won't you a couple dozen thousand of you boys go down there and clean all that town out and be back before dinner. We'll be back here. And God slew a bunch of them. Trouble, and here we have, now we got widows all over Israel because they've lost their husband and they lost their sons. And there's wailing and weeping and moaning in the camp of Israel. Why? Over one man's sin. And I want to tell you something. If you think that your sin, your little secret private sin that you don't want anybody to find out, if you think that only affects you, you're crazy. God will bring trouble to you. He will bring trouble to you. You'll start seeing that your wife or your husband and your children is paying for what you've done. You know what you'll end up being? You'll be the troubler of the whole church just because of what you did. And nobody knew Achan did this thing. So they cast lots. I don't really know what that was, but it's something that's supposed to be random, I guess. And the lot just happened to fall upon his tribe and then his clan, and then it ended up right at his house. And Joshua went over to him, looked him in the eye, and he said, Achan, what have you done? And he told him what he had and where he had it hid. And the Israelites, God commanded them, they slew Achan and his whole family. Now you listen to me. This is moms and dads. This is boys and girls. And this is even grandma and grandpas. You sin and carry your sin and try to hide it yourself and not give it over to God, let him forgive it. You're going to bring trouble to your whole family. Get it under the blood. Get it confessed and have God deliver you from it. Because you're going to trouble your whole family. That's what you're going to do. Then he said in Psalm 38, for mine iniquities are gone over my head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Sound familiar? Amen. Now, listen, just listen to me for a minute. Again, I don't have a clue. I mean, I, honest before God, do not have a clue who I'm preaching this to. But somebody listening to me today is carrying this. What you've done is you've gotten in over your head. See, we still use that expression today, don't we? You've gotten in over your head with your iniquity. And you've gotten in so far that you don't know how to get out. Let me tell you how you got there. You got there through the trick of the devil telling you, just try a little bit of this, or do a little bit of this, or say a little bit of this, or think a little bit this way, and you'll be able to keep it safe. You'll be able to keep it cool between you and God, and everything will be okay. He was a liar. He convinced you that you could play around with sin and not get too far with it. He convinced you of that. He lied. And now you're sitting there in a situation in life right now where you recognize that it's way over your head. And you can't stop. You can't quit. You can't move away. You can't do anything. My iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. And you're trying to carry it. And it's affecting your relationships. It's affecting your work. It's affecting everything in life. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. And you're trying to carry it. And the truth of it is, you have gotten in so far, and you don't know how to get out. You don't know how to get out. And let me tell you something. God's going to bring trouble to you. He's going to get you in trouble. He's going to tattletale. How many of you like tattletales in school? Hated them little... I was one. You didn't like tattletales. You know why? You were doing something wrong. You didn't want the teacher to find out. You didn't want mom to find out about it. Nehemiah chapter 9. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee. Now listen to this. In the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. Now here's what I'm telling you. You may be in trouble right now, or headed for trouble. You may be. Please don't think that when you get in that trouble that God has left you. Because I'm going to tell you something. The mere fact that God brought you to a place where it all came crashing down on you is the manifold evidence that God cares enough about you to bring you to Him. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. Because how many people do you know that are sinning constantly without seemingly any recompense whatsoever? They get to pretty much do whatever they want to, and they get away with it. You know somebody like that, Jim? Somebody you work with. Okay? You know what? God's not their daddy. God's not their daddy. And they got a daddy that won't whip them for doing stuff wrong. I have a daddy that does.
Amen. Yes.
That's how I know He loves me. So, but after they had, watch this now, but after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore lettest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times did thou deliver them according to thy mercies. So you might be in trouble. You say, well, I want God to deliver me. Bye. I want God to deliver me. But I might just get in trouble again. You know what He did with Israel? He delivered them again. And you know what they did? They got in trouble again. You know what God did? He delivered them again. You know what they did after that? They got in trouble again. You know what God did? Delivered them. Hey, let's be honest. That wasn't the first time my mama ever had to whip me. Because I had done stuff, I'd played with matches before, burnt the woods down one time. Got a whipping for it. I went and did it again. Got another whipping for it, Garrett. I had done stuff, said stuff prior to that. You know what my mama did? She gave me a whipping for it. And my mama whipped me, and she whipped me, and she whipped me, until she began to see in me He's growing up a little bit. That's what she did. That was her job. And I never hated her for it, not one time. Psalm 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. That's you. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Now here's what happens. You'll get down underneath all this stuff. Let me tell you, you know how the world handles stuff like this? We've seen this over and over. We have seen this over and over. Some old guy will start getting in trouble in business. And he thinks he's got a hold on it, but he doesn't. And he starts running debts everywhere. Then he starts getting into dirty money. And then he can't get a hold of it. He can't keep up with it. And it's over his head. And it's about ready to do him in. He doesn't want to get caught and exposed. And he, watch this now. He doesn't want to deal with the consequences of what he's done. We've seen this time after time. Boom! I don't want to deal with what I've done. They have no father like our Father. Because while I tell you that you sitting here today listening to me, God's going to grab a hold of you by your shirt collar. He's going to pull your britches down. He's going to take a rod after you and whoop you until you think you're about dead. He's going to hit you so hard. He ain't hateful to you. He don't hate you. You know what he does? He loves you. You know what he wants? You know what he wants out of this? He wants you, the next time you will get tempted into falling into the sin again, he wants to make it distasteful to you. Amen. Jimmy Carmichael, you know what they did to my Uncle Jay one time? My Uncle Jay was an old truck driver. Truck drivers do two things while they're driving: drink coffee and smoke. Boy, I mean, he sucked them down, 3 packs a day. Couldn't quit. Went to a clinic. They put him on a, had this table sitting there for him with one of them silver bowls and the metal bowls, you know, you mix stuff in, full of dirty ashes and cigarette butts. Then they took a spray bottle and sprayed them down real good to make them wet. That stinks. And they made him hold his head over that bowl of butts and ashes, whiffing it in, and chain smoked 10 lucky strikes one after another, no filters. Sucked him down. He said, my shoes come out of my face. He hurled so bad, made him so sick. What they did was they changed the pleasure in his mind. They changed the pleasure that he got from a cigarette to disgust. God can do that. God can take what you're doing and make it so disgusting and so distasteful to you that you're actually now, instead of going, I can't stop, I don't, God's going, you're going, No, I listen, I know how that ends up. I'm not doing that again. That's a good father to you. That's what he'll do. You let him do it. He won't forsake you. Psalm 20 verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The Bible talks about a day of trouble. I was seeing it over and over in the scripture. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob, defend thee. I want you to look at that phrase, defend thee. God is the one you sinned against. And yet he is the one who's going to do what? Defend you. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It was God, Jared, that you sinned against. And yet now God is going to be in your favor, advocating for you, being your defense attorney, telling God, the Father, who is just, looking at your lawyer. And the lawyer says, Father, I've already paid his bill. There is now no condemnation to him. Because now his bill has been paid by me. It's over with. And you know what? Guess what? Now, you're not in trouble anymore. That's a pretty good deal. Now, you're not in trouble anymore. No one can come after you once God has buried it and hidden it. Nobody can. I've never had a church service at Bethel where I said to the people, I think we're going to have a revival, but the only way we can have a revival is for everybody to come up here and admit everything they've been doing wrong. Not ever done that, and I'm never going to do that. You know why? Because I'm a coward. That's why. I'm a big chicken. I'm not telling you. I'm not going to make you tell everybody else. Because you know what God wanted to do to you? He just wanted to follow His word. He came to you privately and He said, let's deal with this just between me and you. And once He did, it's done. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 59, 16, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Psalm 77, 2, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. Now I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you to raise your hand. Is it what you want more than anything else in the world is to be in heaven for all of eternity with God? Raise your hand. But you know what can get in the way, don't you? Yeah. This right here. That'll get you in trouble every time. And so what did he say? For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So I'm here to tell you that just because you're in trouble does not mean that God's done with you. That doesn't mean that He cannot pull you out of it. In fact, He's the only one that can. And you'll know it when He does. You'll know it when He does. Psalm 30, verse 6. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. That's what, listen to me now. That's what happens when we're not serving the Lord and we're out getting into all kinds of stuff, but we think in our mind we're getting away with it, therefore we're okay. So I said, in my prosperity I shall never be moved. But then, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Here's what happens. God turns His face from you. He turns away from you. And that's when it brings trouble. Then Psalm 31, and I'm only going to read a couple verses out of this, and I want you to go home and read this yourself. Psalm 31. Take your Bible, turn there. What, you think I'm going to put all the verses up on the screen for you, you lazy things? Bring a Bible to church. Psalm 31, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Let me just say this to you. Let me just say this to you, and I'm going to be done. Again, I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't know if it's anybody here. I don't know if it's anybody out there. But God had me preach this message. Because either you are in trouble, you are in deep trouble right now. Maybe even legal trouble. Maybe that. And God brought that on you because of your own wickedness. Because the own pride of your heart, and you decided that you can do it and get away with it and everything will be fine. While you make everybody think you're a good, outstanding Christian. God will bring you into deep, deep trouble. When you're there, I suggest to you that you get out a King James Bible. When nobody else in the world can save you and help you through this trouble. When nobody else can. That you get your King James Bible out. You might just open it up wherever the Holy Ghost directs you, but you might want to try Psalm 31 first. And read this out loud to yourself and to God. And say, God, I'm in trouble. And if this book is true, God, I'm asking you to save me from my trouble. I just start reading this to God and say, God, this is what you said. Verse 4, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Pull me out of the net. God, you're in a trap. Verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Where'd that come from? It's what Jesus said on the cross. Verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. And I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. And I don't know how to end the message. I'm going to encourage you to continue reading Psalm 31. There's 24 verses here. And every one of them are about how God can pull you out of the net. Every one of them is. But you've got to let him. And I'll say this to you, that God will put you in such a position to where you won't be like O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson got away with murder. How many of y'all know that? Say amen. Amen. Man killed his wife in cold blood. He figured that he hired what they called the dream team of lawyers. And these guys are the highest paid, best lawyers this country has to offer. And it worked. They got him off on murder charges. And he walked out of that courtroom a free man. It is wicked. Man's going to die in his iniquities and go to hell. Because he thinks that he can save himself. And what God's going to do with you, he's going to put you in such a rotten, terrible, disastrous place that you're going to realize nobody can help me, nobody can save me. There will even be a thought in your mind that I don't think God can even save me. Don't believe that one. Because that thought, I don't believe God can save me, leads to this. God can. With a big salvation. You ask him, and he will. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. Lord, I know what this sermon is. I know what it's about. But Lord, I don't know who this is for. And maybe, God, the person that it's for is not even listening right now. Maybe this will hit them later. I don't know. I trust you, God. Lord, if it's for somebody here in this church, Lord, these are people that I care about deeply. And while I'd hate to see any bad thing happen to them, Lord, if there's somebody in this church sitting here today who they've gotten in over their head, Lord, I'm asking you as their friend, God, would you get them in trouble? Would you put them in trouble? Because, God, I know that's the only way, God, that you're going to help them. That's the only way they're going to ask. And Lord, maybe if there's someone here in this church, nobody knows what's going on. But they know in the deep recesses of their heart, it's with them every day. They can't get around it. They know that they are in bad, bad trouble. Lord, teach them to open up this book and to say, God, this is your word and it's what you said. God, would you do this for me? Save them, God. Somebody outside this church, Lord, I don't know all the people that's watching and listening, but it could very well be that somebody is listening to this and they are in bad, bad trouble. To the point, God, that they have considered ending their own life just because they think that's the only way to get out of it. God, please reach them. Have them open up this book and show them, God, that there is a better way than suicide. There is a better way than just fleeing the scene. God, would you help them today? I love you, God. And I thank you, Lord, for pulling me out of troubles I've been in. Self-inflicted. Thank you, God. Lord, would you do that for your people? Would you do it, Lord, for somebody who really needs it today? Thank you for preaching this message, Lord. I love you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. And if you're here today, I'm done. But if you're here today, and that's you, I went and told on you. Okay? I went and told on you. Don't be mad at me. I did it because I love you. I mentioned this Wednesday night. One of my first cousins, his boy, he didn't end his own life, but he got into drugs. 26 years old, got into drugs so bad he could not get out of them, and he had taken overdoses so many times. And finally, the last overdose caught up with him, and he died. Okay? And I want to say to you people here today, if you know somebody that's messing up and starting to get into drugs, and you haven't told anybody, or you haven't called the law on them because you don't want to, that'll cause problems. No, it won't. Listen, they need to be in trouble. Somebody needs to interfere in their life. And if you know about it and you're not doing something about it, I promise you, you'll wish to God you did do something about it one of these days. I promise you, you will. Okay? All right, let's stand to our feet.